across the strait from the world in the beer.
This is All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida, featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery, from coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235, and let's talk about wine. Again, the phone number to call is 646-727-3235. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Mark's back with us tonight. He wasn't here last week, but he's back with us tonight.
Yeah. They almost didn't come back tonight. Did you get hit by a storm? Man,
yeah.
It was lightning.
No, not
and
here,
just...
but and over at the winery. Yes, it's you know, we get the afternoon stuff at the winery, and it's just nasty, nasty. But here on the coast,
right,
the coast is clear.
Sure. Wow. Oh, it was terrible here.
Unbelievable. Yeah, at the winery, I'm coming home. Yesterday and today, and I got slammed with storms. But once I got home here on the coast, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, I don't know. It's yeah.
Yeah, it was okay. It jumps around like that. I guess you're in the whatever the percentage was, the 40%. You were in the 60% that didn't get
I'm
it.
I'm in the 60% part. That's right. It doesn't get it. Yeah, the winery out there, obviously, a couple days ago, it got 3/4 inch. Yesterday, it got 1/4 inch.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's enough rain to make a difference. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, good for the rhubarb if we grew rhubarb.
We're getting a lot of it.
You are.
It's
summer pattern.
I got to the part with the 2 years we were talking. I got to the part with the 2 years. It is the wine for 2 years. It says,
"Oh, it's wine."
It says, at the wine, yeah, at the winery, they harvest and press the grapes. You know all about that stuff. I'm like, press the grapes and yeast. Add yeast to ferment them, then age the port wine. Port? Did they say just port? Add yeast and ferment them, then age the port wine for at least 2 years in oak barrels.
Wow. So they're making a port then.
That's the wine side. It looks like it. Yeah, to prepare to make the vino brew.
Which is much higher alcohol, which is usually sweeter too. So interesting approach there. You guys came in partway through the conversation. We were talking. Mike saw something on Science Channel. Yeah, Science Channel. About a wine and beer combination, wine and beer combo. And he was just telling me about it. And he said, 2 years they keep it in barrels. And I'm going, 2 years. So he was following up on that, trying to find out more about these 2 years. It's a port. So that's an interesting development there.
It looks like. Looks like it is a California that they were talking about. Yeah, Vino Brews. There we go. It's Wise Villa Winery in California. Wine runs the Ports Sparkling Wine Club Vino Brews. Let's see what kind of Vino Brews they have. That I don't think that was the topic tonight, but anyway, I kind of jumped into that one.
A little bit interesting bit of trivia there.
I know I saw the 2 years part, but and then we started talking about it. It's like, wow, that's a long time.
That is a long time.
Put that in a tank like that, and then, wow.
But it's, all right. So. Well, we were thinking it was beer, too, that was doing that 2 years. And we're going, why? Why?
No, no. Yeah.
Would beer be brewed 2 years? So it's a yeah, well, that solves that okay. mystery.
Yeah. Bugging me all day.
Then we know. Wine and food pairings for this coming up week. As always, we have to tell you what you can drink your wine with. Today is Vanilla Custard Day, National Vanilla Custard Day. Tomorrow, National Ice Cream Pie Day. Not ice cream cake, ice cream pie day. Which, you know, what's the difference between an ice cream pie and ice cream cake, except just for the shape? You know, I mean, I don't know. A lot, I'm hearing from my engineer.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he in the background goes, a lot. You know, what is the difference then? Tell me. The crust. Okay, well, there you go. You're right. Pie's going to have a crust. Cake will not.
Okay.
So that's for one, she said. So obviously there are more. What more? She stopped right there. Well, she did get me on the crust. Okay. So ice cream pie day is tomorrow. National Hot and Spicy Food Day is Saturday. So that's actually, if you're having hot food or spicy food, now we can name a whole bunch of countries that have it, Mexico and India and, you know, just about every South American country and Bangkok, Thailand. I was in Bangkok, Thailand many years ago, and oh my gosh, their food is spicy there too. Sort of a different type of spiciness than you find in other countries. But when you're looking at spicy foods, have yourself some Gewürztraminer. That is, in my opinion, the absolute best wine to have with a spicy food. That Gewürztraminer just opens up and just gives you just this wonderful flavors and taste, and it highlights the wine or the food so well. So have yourself some Gewürztraminer with a bowl of Thai food or Mexican food or Indian food or something like that, and you can't go wrong. It is great stuff. Then, let's see, what else we got here? Sunday is National Bacon Lovers Day. So bacon. A wine with bacon? Well, it depends on how you're going to prepare it. I had some turkey bacon the other day, which I was not impressed with. And I think the strongest wine you can find would be great with that because it would cover it up a little bit. But bacon, Sunday, National Bacon Day. And then Monday is, well, Sweet Tea Day, National Sweet Tea. I can't think of any wine that goes with that, so we'll skip that. Excuse me. Tuesday, National Pecan Tort Day. And it's also Eat a Peach Day. Pecan Tort, I think a nice blush wine would go well with a tort, Pecan Tort. Wednesday, National Cuban Sandwich Day. I like Cuban sandwiches. That's a good day. National Cuban Sandwich Day and also National Sponge Cake Day. So with those Cuban sandwiches, get something a little bit stronger. Red wine, a light red wine, though. Don't go heavy, strong red wine. Go a little bit lighter. So, and then the sponge cake. Well, depends on what you're going to do with sponge cake. And then next Thursday, a week from today, Peach Pie Day, National Peach Pie Day. So there's your wine pairing for the next week here. A lot of sweet in there, a lot of sweet stuff. So something to have with your wines and food and wine pairings there. I've got lots of stuff to talk about tonight. And some interesting things here. First thing I'm going to do is you all know what's happening coming up on that's not what I want. That's what I want. You all know what's happening coming up on my computer just kicked out. Look at that. Jeez.
We really need to fix that.
Yeah, I know. Really do.
You need a setup with like three monitors that you can just, you know, I have all this stuff on this monitor. I have this that I'm looking at this monitor. And this one is, you know, research and development, whatever it is. And then just go left to right. You can.
And you're actually right, because last week you weren't here and there was a couple of things I had said, oh, I wish Mike was here so he can look that up for me. Yeah. And so, yeah, and you weren't. You can look it up for me. I'm just going, oh, no, that's too bad.
Typing away.
Yeah. So, okay. Oh, what, something I was really going to talk about here. What happened to it?
It's about, is there something happening like Monday?
Monday. Yeah, it was. It was about the eclipse. It really was. And I had a nice article here on what wineries is best to see the eclipse. And I, this computer lost it somewhere, somehow. That really upsets me here because it was a list of the wineries, and it came just right across the country. It just told you one from up in Oregon all the way down across. What is it? Oh, that upsets me. Let's see. What can I mumble about while I'm looking this up? Oh, here we go. I'll mumble about this. Remember when I brought up on the program that Trade and Tobacco Bureau was starting to going to allow wineries not to have a bond if they did less than a certain amount of business, or if they owed less than a certain amount, it was $5,000, I think, or something like that. If they owed less than $5,000 in tax over a year, then they can do away with their bond, which, well, my engineer just brought me something. Let's see. Is that the
wineries to view the eclipse?
Oh, yeah. Well, she looked it up on her phone here instead of on her iPad. She gave me her little phone. But oh, that's cool. This is wineries to view the eclipse. Well, I'll look at this in a minute here. There's quite a few here. Jeez. Travel. You cannot keep up with it, though. It moves too fast through the country to keep up with it with any planes or anything. So this tax, the bond that was required, the bonds that they were doing, they said that if you apply for an exemption, you can not have to pay the taxes, not have to carry a bond. You used to have to pay tax, but not have to carry a bond. And I thought, wow, you know, what a cool deal. So I started to follow up on it, and sure enough, I'm exempt. So then I said, what do I have to do to stop this? What needs to be done is I have to submit a form. If I originally applied online, I have to submit a form online. If I originally applied by paperwork, I have to submit a form with paperwork. Well, not knowing which ones that were originally done on this because it was set up by original owners, I called the TTB. And the lady was very helpful, and she looked it up, and she said that I submitted by paperwork, and she told me what paperwork, what form to go get. And it was form 5120.25, TTV form and fill this out. And I actually got two bonds through the feds. I need to fill two of them out, send it in, and I will be bond exempt. Hey, and you guys can do it out there. Any of your wineries listening to me, I don't know if any wineries do listen to me, but any of your wineries listening out there, do that. It's, if you're less than $5,000 in taxes that you owe, you can become exempt just with a simple form. So just let you know about that. And then something else I found, which I want to tell you about this simply because I thought it was fascinating. They have came out with slaughter-free meat. Now, it's nothing to do with wine, but it's just something that I found interesting. Slaughter-free meat. It is meat that has been made. Clean meat is what they call it. It's producing meat without animals using cell culture technology. They said it tastes like meat. It has a little bit of fat in it, that cell technology, a little bit of stringiness in it. They're calling it the next gen meat, produced with no animal agriculture, no animal raising, no slaughter, just all done in the lab. Interesting. Clean meat is what it is. So if you want to look that up, there are articles out there and stuff like that. But it's starting at the cellular level. And rather than animal slaughters, it's begins with primary cells taken from a living or recently slaughtered animal. The cells are then cultured and multiply and directed to become certain parts of the meat, the muscle, the fat, the different fibroblast materials, connective tissues, and all that. So it actually is just like real meat. I thought that was interesting. I wanted to share it. Strange. Really. So, what is this article? It was a good article too, and I was just reading it. I put it down at the bottom so I can save it. And then the winery, then the computer decided that it was not going to save it for me anymore, and it eliminated it. And I can't find it now. But it was. Glassy Ring Sharpshooter was found in San Luis Obispo. It was in a trap within the city limits of San Luis Obispo, location about 4 miles from where a previous Glassy Ring Sharpshooter infestation was eradicated back in December of 2013. According to Agriculture Commissioner, in addition to placing more traps, they're being even more cautious of what's going on there and trying to find out if there's any others around the area, and they're expanding the trap area and all that. So, Glassy Ring Sharpshooter found in San Luis Obispo. That's in Central California, by the way. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It is in the Central California area. What's this? Here it is. All right. I found it. Yay! The Drinker's Guide to Watching the Solar Eclipse. Coming up Monday, the 21st. A solar eclipse. To see the totality. I love that word, totality, by the way. To see the totality of the solar eclipse, you have to be right in the path. The path is only so wide. And there's somebody at the door, you know. The path is so only so wide. So, let's see who's at the door. Um, So next Monday, starting at the beaches of Oregon through the midsection of the U.S. down the South Carolina coastline, there will be a total eclipse, first one across the U.S. in 99 years. The path of totality, a 70 or so mile wide band, which crosses across the country, will put it in total darkness. And you all know this stuff already, unless you've been living, you know, on Mars or up in the space station. Even the space station knows around it. So, five distilleries or winemakers and breweries are prepping for the sun to go dark. Let's start up in Madras, Oregon, small town, 6,700 people, America's carrot seed capital. So if you ever want to know where the capital of carrot seed is, it's in Madras, Oregon. Madras is one of the prime dream spots for the total eclipse. There are more than 100,000 people expected to cram into Central Oregon High Desert town. This is in the high desert for this event. Because of the wide open vistas and presumably clear skies, this is always the issue. This is one of the longest spans in Northwest. It'll be 2 minutes, 2 seconds of darkness. Town of Madras has some wineries around there and breweries. There's American Strong Light and New Basin. Our New Basin is the name of the brewery, American Strong Light. And they have a whiskey, Jebediah Strong Smith, and all sorts of other stuff. The Solar Fest, a county fair-like celebration featuring 20 bands, balloon rides, NASA scientists. It's VIP breakfast that day is for about 50 guests. There's all sorts of stuff going on there. So there you go. If you're up in that part of the country, Madras, Oregon, totality strikes at 10:19 a.m. Coming on across the country, we go to Casper, Wyoming. I've been in Casper. Casper's a cool town. Casper, Wyoming. The totality strikes there at 11:42 a.m. Mountain Time. It has been viewed as a beer-drinking town, which actually, from what I remember from Casper, it is a beer-drinking town. They're trying to change that perception, though, and take, hosting an all-day watch party. From the family-owned Backwards Distilling Company. They have cocktails named after the evolving sky, and there is the Eclipse Chaser, which is a cold brew coffee with all sorts of stuff in it. Then around 11 a.m., shortly after the moon first starts seeing it, they will offer the first contact drink, and then they go on from there throughout the whole time offering different drinks. The eclipse expects to draw 35,000 visitors to the city. That's going to double the size of it easily. Total eclipse time in Casper, 2 minutes, 26 seconds. Very nice spot there in the middle of a bowl type with the hills and mountains around it. So a great spot to watch it. Then go on over to the Midwest at Macanda, Illinois. And the totality strikes there at 1:20 Central Time at Blue Sky Vineyard in Macanda. The owner of Blue Sky Vineyard said back in 2014, he got a call from a stargazing junkie in Germany wanting to know if he could rent a room to him. For the on August 2017. And Jim Ewers said he had no clue about the coming eclipse and that he was going to be prime real estate. So he added 50% to the price. And the person said, no, they really weren't interested. And so he said, it's a good thing because he's got like five times that much for the rooms now. Macanda is basically ground zero. This eclipse there is going to last for a good, I have no idea because I can't find their numbers here. 2 minutes 40.2 seconds, the longest duration of darkness in the country. So they're all taking extra steps. 3,000 to 5,000 people expect to be at the Vineyard in Shawnee Hills region of Southern Illinois. Ewers is charging $100 a night for campers. They also bottled 100 cases of solar eclipse wine, a specially made dry wine, a dark red. He hopes to sell out before the crowd leaves. The wine is a blend of two of his grapes, the Champborschen and the Norton. So, interesting combo there. There's actually the Champborschen is one of the few grapes that does have red juice inside, so a nice dark color. And he's got all sorts of other stuff planned and everything else. Come April 8, 2024, when the next solar eclipse is slated for the U.S., his vineyard once again will be in the path of totality. So he's doing it again in 2024. That's not that far away, actually. Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Totality strikes at 1:24 Central Daylight Time. Casey Jones Distillery is right in the path, and they've got all sorts of stuff. The Peg Hayes, who is the wife of A.J. Jones that runs Casey Jones Distillery, calls herself the Empress of the Eclipse. Darkness will be for 2 minutes and 40 seconds, which is not too much shy of the record 2 minutes 40.2 seconds in Illinois. So they're going to get the long eclipse. And they said that the property expect to be anywhere from 500 to 5,000 more people. She said it doesn't make any difference because they're featuring bluegrass bands, food trucks, and a barber giving eclipse. Yeah, that's cute. And they will also be pouring the distillery's Total Eclipse Moonshine made from local grown corn. So then I have all that there. They've been in existence since a probation era still maker, AJ's grandfather, opened up the thing many years ago. And so it's they're gearing up for 200,000 sightseers and all sorts of stuff in that part of the state. Again, that is going to be in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. And then Columbia, South Carolina. This is the end of it. It goes out there 2:41, the totality. That's an Eastern time. End of the line for the eclipse of 2017. Estimated that state visitors will be flooding the capital of Columbia, 50 miles south of a brewery owned by Brian O'Neill. He said that there's so many people there that he said just that they stack one-to-one, they're going to touch his winery anyway, even though he's 50 miles south or north of Columbia. He has his opening Binford Brewing, and he's been working on that. He has a extremely dark IPA for the day, playing on the fact that it's extremely dark with a total eclipse. He has a palmetto tree with a crescent moon. A specially designed label with a palmetto tree with a crescent moon on it and showing across the state of South Carolina. So it's a big deal. I'm going to the eclipse myself. I'm flying out on Sunday morning, going up to Atlanta. I am going to be spending the day at Atlanta with my son, his wife, and my three grandchildren. Monday morning, we're getting up. We're going to pack a picnic lunch because we have no idea how the restaurants are going to be packed or anything like that. And my three grandchildren are 7, 4, and 1.5, I think. 1.5, close to 2. So they aren't want us to be sitting in the restaurant for hours or waiting in line. So we'll be doing the eclipse just on the side of the road or in a Walmart parking lot or whatever it takes. And we'll have a picnic lunch on the tailgating on the back of the van and or the SUV or whatever it is, yes. And just having a good time watching the total eclipse. Trying to find the eclipse glasses has been a nightmare. Trying to get telescopes have been a nightmare. And trying to do any of that stuff has been a nightmare because everything's sold out. Everybody's trying to get the stuff, and they had enough intelligence to order beforehand, unlike me, who waited way too long. So it's going to be fun, and it's something I'm really looking forward to. So I will be telling you next week about the total eclipse, about my experience, as if you really care. And it's not about wine, but I guarantee you I'm going to be drinking wine while I'm seeing the whole thing and all that. So that will be the tie into everything there. So the total eclipse, a rare event for this part of the world. Rare event for it to go straight across the United States. It's really not a rare event overall because it happens all the time. There are total eclipses that happen all the time around Earth, but they're in the middle of the ocean, they're in the Amazon forest, they're, you know, any number of places. They just don't go through the United States like this one's going through. So it's something new and exciting and different for a lot of people. And one crossing the United States like this, I think I heard 132 years before we get something like this again. Okay, now, if you remember, and you might not remember if you're a new listener, you won't know, but a couple years ago, if that long, we were talking about a new drink called Palkahol. Remember that, Mike? The Palkahol?
Palkahol?
That was the powdered alcohol drink.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, alcohol. It was just brand new at the time. I mean, just, you know, they just came out with it, and they were talking about Palkahol. I was curious what was happening with Palkahol. I was curious, you know, what was going on with it. So I punched in Palkahol into the search engine, and when I first looked at it, it was, I don't know, just, you know, three or four lines about Palkahol, and they didn't have anything else about it. Now, you go to Wikipedia, and it's just a whole big section, and it talks about the history and the invention, the customer base, public health concerns, and considerations for retailers, and production process, and market, and sales in Japan and the United States, chemical properties, roots of administration, prevalence of legal status in Australia, Germany, Japan, Netherlands, Russia, U.S., and United Kingdom. And, I mean, it just, oh my gosh, you know, it just became this exploded thing here. And we
called it a teenage Kool-Aid, I think it was.
Yeah.
And Connecticut was supporting a ban on it. They're asking the FDA to ban it outright. And yeah, it was something from Popular Science, I think, what you mentioned on it.
It's
so,
just, but
big deal.
It was approved by the TTB, which, you know, as of January 4, 2016, the product was not yet available for sale, and because of legalization concerns and controversy and all that. But a big, big article on it, Wikipedia, look, just punch in Palkahol, P-A-L-C-O-H-O-L, Palkahol. But powdered alcohol, Palkahol. You click on the Palkahol.com, www.palkahol.com, and it gives you the original page and all that stuff. A revolutionary new product, and it tells you about it and all, and the energy applications and manufacturing applications and medical applications and travel and just these little things about it all and everything. And that was started on March 10th, 2015. And I think it was pretty close around that time that I first mentioned it on here. But then I noticed on this that Palcohol, the official site now, is offering it for sale. You can buy the formula and do it yourself. Well, if the states are still arguing over if it's legal, if they're still arguing over it's something that you can or cannot have or something like that, then why would you want to buy it? It's powdered alcohol. Palcohol is banned in 31 states. It's not, I mean, just out and out bland. 31 states have legislated that complete bans on powdered alcohol. California is looking at doing a complete ban on it also. And it just, we don't hear about it anymore. Palcohol is pretty much died an untimely death. But, you know, 31 states is only 31 states. That still gives us, 19 states that are not banned in. Now, this is dated. Let me see the date on this article. And there is none. Oh, this was a year ago. So it may have been banned in even more by now, too. Who knows? But Palcohol, we talked about that originally. We had some good comments about it. And, it's still out there. Let's see what to say. You can buy alcohol online. Now, how can you do that if it's what you need to know about alcohol? Well, now they're saying here, this article says, Palcohol is a premium vodka and Puerto Rican rum sold in white powder form. Each packet contains the equivalent of 5 ounces of alcohol, which when mixed with liquid is equal to a standard mixed drink. And it comes in 4 flavors, Cosmopolitan, Mojito, Powderita, and Lemon Drop. And it's gluten-free. Contains alcohol, natural flavorings, and a sweetener called sucralose, which is just another sweetener. but alcohol, I looked at a few things on this. I just remembered the other day that we were talking about alcohol. Actually, I didn't remember it. I was going through some old paper here, and I noticed a note about alcohol. And so it reminded me, and so I looked it up again, and I'm finding all this other stuff and everything else about alcohol and what's going on with it and everything else. So it is powdered alcohol and spirits distilled with cane, premium Puerto Rican rum. Just add a mixture for an instant cocktail. 58% alcohol by weight, which is 12% alcohol by volume when you add the packet to your water. So, oh boy. All right. We covered alcohol again, probably giving it more time than it really deserved both times, but alcohol. The next thing here I want to talk about is a little bit longer article, but I caught this. This is just something else I want to say before we go into this. This is, I think it was. No, that's not that. Not that. Not that. I think I covered everything I wanted to. And that's not good. Okay. So, making sense of organic wine. All right. Now, quite a bit of information this, but it helps clear up a little muddy topic about organic. The wine industry's chemical romance has, well, not entirely, but it's starting to cool down. What's happened to by various producers, like regions like Burgundy go on a row-to-row basis in the vineyard. And it just, different rows are giving different things to. But, you know, it's a little bit hard to understand the labels and what's attached to it and what they're claiming is green and all this stuff. And, you know, what's in a glass of wine? What's, we'll take a look at this here for just a little bit. Traditional viticulture is, well, from the 50s to the 70s, wine regions have used a lot of chemical. They have reliance on chemical fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, insecticides, and a wide range has moderated across the industry over the decades. Some have used isolated areas that have never saw chemical. Other areas are been chemically treated for years and all this. Areas in France are permanently brown due to the use of herbicides, and the pH in the soil levels are too high due to excess use of potassium compounds, which have been introduced by fertilizers. And, you know, there's winemakers in France who are known to refer to this on this reliance on chemical companies as is normal traditional viticulture, ignoring the previous millennium of farming without these chemicals and the synthetic additives. So observations of the effects of land by chemicals have varied from sector to sector, and has led to reduction in usage of chemicals and increase of popularity of organic and biodynamic methods. We've also become more aware of the health risk from the chemicals that have been added to the wines and all that, and how those have affected the farm workers and their families and stuff. And there's been numerous lawsuits going on because of that. But it's an ongoing thing. There's still types of chemicals used in vineyards, you know, insecticides, particularly in areas that are being affected a lot by insects and stuff. You just can't ignore it, or else you're going to end up with a dead crop. So they've came out with sustainable wine growing or grape growing. This term sustainable can be conflated with organic viticulture, but also covers a range of additional issues, including biodiversity, water usage, ecological, economic, and political issues in many regions, power consumption, landscaping, building materials, and human resources. It's just sustainable combines all this stuff. The precise definition can depend on the authorities. New Zealand is a world leader in sustainable wine growing, and 98% of vineyards and wineries have undergone a series of audits to be certified as sustainable by New Zealand wine growers. With regard to chemical usage, though, the term usually applies an integrated approach to pest and disease control with the goal of reducing chemical use. Reason struggle is the French art. Lutte raisonne, raison, LUTTERAISONEE with the gold French mark over the first E, which means reason struggle is a French term applied without certification or legal definition, relying on the consciousness of the producers. They argue that each season is different, so therefore that its approach is different, and they may need emergency sprays greater than what are planned so that they don't lose their crop. Organic and biodynamic proponents, of course, argue that having the volume, halving, H-A-L-V-I-N-G, the volume of regularity of chemical sprays does not have the problem. and only complete avoidance can bring desirable outcomes. Lutte raisonné, in particular, is also seen as a way to claim near organic credential without commitment to organic. Actually, lutte raisonné growers compared to organic tend not to be such heavy users of copper sulfite or Bordeaux mixture. And the Bordeaux mixture is a blend of copper sulfite and slaked lime. So it's, and the article goes even deeper into different things here. And well, let me talk a little bit about organic. The organic movement ultimate goal is to restore soil health. This aligns with scientific fact, at least in the current scientific theories. Soils rich in organic materials better retain inorganic ions necessary for growth. They're also thought to be better at providing complex nutrients at a slow rate, which is optimal for better grapes, rather than the quick delivery of chemical fertilizers. Soil is held in organic vineyards to the structure and the microbes and the arthropods and insects, all part of the living soil that aerates it and keeps it resistant to compaction and erosion, and therefore gives it better growing power for the grape. You're not putting a whole bunch of synthetic concentrated fertilizers or herbicides into the ground. So, which in turn provides for obviously better soil health. It also helps biodiversity and habitats for species, which stops pests. Farmers may vary the crops by row. The crop rotation or mixed crop planting may also be used to help build up pests and pathogen resistance on the vineyard floor. And weeds under the vines are usually controlled using tilling tools. Question, can all vineyards be farmed organically? Probably not. There's just too much chemicals already in the grounds and areas and all that. And also we have problems with mildews and botrytis and stuff like that. So if a reaction to a farmer says he's organic is hard, then the location of where the vines are is a big factor, especially given wine vines are not relevant to arguments ranged against organic farming in favor of genetically engineered crops, which obviously concern the booming global population, but it's something that, you know, it has been happening. One can argue that cost of insurance against crop loss are mitigated by the premium prices of certified grower can charge. So the legal aspects of legal definition, for example, of organic wine versus wine made organically with organically grown grapes, organic practices in the winery, and the topic of certification are all different possibilities there that you have to look at. And then biodynamic. I talked about biodynamic. In fact, we interviewed a winery out in Mendocino County, California, that was biodynamic. And that's just another step beyond. That's even more work, if you will. The word biodynamics means life energy. The farm is treated as a living whole and farmed holistically using multiple interconnected activities based on observation plus testing and analysis. Livestock, including cows, are encouraged to be used in biodynamic farming, our vineyards, providing materials, stocking multiple animal species for grazing can be great for pest control. And the use of multiple crops and crop rotation for soil health is also a plus and helps weed and pest control. Tree planting for various purposes and recycling organic waste through composting is also very important in biodynamics. An emphasis on soil health is particularly important in biodynamic. The calendars, biodynamic calendar is published for each relevant hemisphere and time zone so that you can know the exact date of the main lunar, solar, and planetary effects that affect planting, pruning, harvesting, and other vineyard and winery activities. Now, this is this solar eclipse taken into effect? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Since I was just talking about solar eclipse, that's the only reason I'm thinking about it here. The month is divided into a root, leaf, flower, and fruit seed days, and are therefore have a setting of a schedule so that you do each of the things with it. One major United Kingdom supermarket schedules trade tastings on fruit days, which are deemed optimum for consumption. So if you're going to do a tasting, do it on a fruit day. Preparations of biodynamic are quite diverse and can be, for those not aware of it, comical. The core duo, they are numbered 500. This is cow manure fermented in a cow horn buried over the winter to be diluted and sprayed on the soil in the next year. And they actually do that, mix it with water and spray it in the soil. Buried cow horns in the spring are dug up in autumn. Preparations 502 through 507, combined composting, flower heads fermented in stag's bladder, chamomile flower heads fermented in the soil, stinging nettle tea applied separately, oak bark fermented in the skull of a domesticated animal, dandelion heads fermented in part of the bowels of a cow, and all such stuff. Numbers 502 through 507. 508 is a tea made from the horsetail plant used against fungal diseases. So there's all sorts of things in biodynamics. Another notable biodynamic practice is peppering. This does not involve pepper, but rather burning the pest, our insect, mammal, or plant, and scattering the ashes over the land to be protected to deter the pests. So you actually burn the pest that you're trying to get rid of and spread over land, which stops the other pest. Lots of stuff involved in biodynamics. Those who follow it, and they are true believers, have been doing it for years, and they said that it makes a wonderful difference. I personally don't know. I'm not going to say yes or no. It does make a difference, but it is a different step, a step up, if you will. Jim Fetzer began to develop biodynamic Siego vine garden in his Mexican vineyard. And when he did that, the workers didn't bat an eye. They said it was, you know, great, let's do it. So there are wineries that are doing it all the time. So biodynamic is the step forward. Yes, it does cost more. Yes, it does make a difference. They're saying when we did the interview, the guy said it made a wonderful difference in the taste. I don't know, you know, but when you organic is actually certified, it's something that you really, you know, it's work. It's something that they keep the certification year after year. And it's something that they swear makes a difference in the taste. We have a festival this weekend. So I'm going to let Mike tell you about what's coming up on that.
That's right. Let me put this up here. That's right. This Saturday is August the 19th. Wow, we're in August the 19th. That's incredible. You got some big events coming up in just a couple of months now. October 7th is the 5th annual Pasco Pet Fest. October 28th is the 4th annual Saint Anne Art and Wine Fest. And those are huge events, and we'll give you more information very soon because it's coming up. So this weekend, there is a wine fest, keeping busy at the winery, that's for sure. We'll be back in 1 minute and 15 seconds, and hopefully this is the right one.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And the music this weekend, this Saturday, is provided by Constantine and Alex. So come on out, have a glass of wine, relax. Yeah, it's fun. And have some fun and shop the vendors. And there's also a wine tasting with Ron. So let's see, you're going to have Young Living Essential Oils. Avon Lady is going to be there. doTERRA. Paparazzi, that's Debbie, Jewelry and Accessories. And Susie's Dogs. Served by husband Charlie. They're a cute couple. I still remember last time I was there. That was so funny. That was a good experience. That's this Saturday, August the 19th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Come on out and enjoy visiting the vendors, shopping. It's a lot of fun, and it's a great chance to pick up unique gift items for friends, family, and yourself. And it's going to be great. So come on out, the Florida Estates Winery. And that number, which on my end, it sounded kind of muffled, 813-996-2113. Okay, so I think that's it. There's no wine classes still to be determined.
We did have a class scheduled for Sunday, but hey, the eclipse took precedent over the wine.
Yeah. Hmm. how do you choose that? Come on.
Yeah,
I think they'll understand.
I hope so. Yeah. Chose the eclipse over the wine.
So you're leaving, and you're going up to what, Atlanta or something, was it? And then you're
going
up
to Atlanta. Yeah, my son and family live northeast of Atlanta, but a town called Dacula. I don't know if anyone knows where that is. That's northeast of Atlanta. Then getting up there Sunday, because that's the only flights available. My daughter works for Southwest Airlines.
Oh, awesome.
I originally was going to go up to Kansas City, Missouri, where I have family, and I was going to go up there because they're right smack dab in the middle of the totality. And
right.
So I figured I'd go up there and just, we'd sit out on the back porch if we have to or something. We can see it right there. Well, mm-hmm. There are no flights available to Kansas City.
Wow.
Anytime Sunday, Saturday, there's nothing available. So I called my son and I said, I'd like to come up for this. Is it possible? And he said, sure, we'd love to have you up. Well, I started checking on flights there. And the only time I can get up there is Sunday morning. Leaving here about 8 o'clock, getting up there about 9:30, and then coming home. I was going to come home Monday late because I still got to open up the winery Tuesday, and it was impossible to find a flight out Monday late. So I'm leaving early Tuesday morning just to fly back down here, and they got flights like every hour, but it's still, it's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Do you think they're booked in the Midwest? Do you think they're like Kansas, the area is booked because of the solar eclipse, or is there something going on?
It's the solar eclipse. It is the solar eclipse. They're renting rooms, hotel rooms within 50 miles of the solar eclipse on both directions all the way across the country is booked. You cannot find hotel rooms. And the rates of the rooms are going up. Some hotels in some prime areas are renting their rooms for $5,000 a night.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Yeah.
That's not right.
That's not right. Mm. No, but they're doing that. And people are paying it because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. My sister said that up in Kansas City, people who have extra rooms are offering their extra rooms on Airbnb for $1,000 a night.
Wow.
You have a room to stay in. You have a bed. You know, we'll give you breakfast, and you can go see total eclipse. But it's a big deal. Salt Lake City, Utah is not in the path. My daughter lives out there. And she says that they don't even have flights coming into Salt Lake City. They're all booked. And people are landing there and driving over to, you know, Wyoming and stuff like that. I mean, Cheyenne, Wyoming is just a ways north of there. And, you know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, flights are booked all over the place. I had a girl that came into the winery last Sunday. And she is flying out to Denver because she goes to school there. And she's having a hard time finding a flight to get out there because everybody's going out there and going, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is a big deal. And it's just like, just amazing what's going on with it. So,
I saw a chart that I think we're down here in Central Florida. We're supposed to get, I don't know, 83% or 86%, you know,
it's
covered.
Pretty good.
So I'm like, it'll be, I don't know, it'll look pretty cool from down here. I was thinking on taking, you know, I have Monday off, and I'm thinking, God, I wonder if I could get up to like South Carolina in that amount of time and get back. There's no way. It's you know, I'm close to 95, and I can, you know, race up 90. I mean, legally drive up 95 and get to South Carolina, you know, but you know, or someplace, you know, north of that. But I'm like, you know, and I saw the percentage. I thought, I'll just stay here. I'll watch it on TV.
Or you can take the All About Wine jet if you want. It's fueled.
It's maintenance. It's in maintenance.
All right. Yeah. Well, last I heard, it was fueled ready to go, but I didn't realize it was in maintenance.
Yeah, it's in maintenance. Yeah. It's down for a little bit, but it'll be flying pretty soon. Something about a grass landing. I don't know what to happen, but anyway.
Yeah.
Off airport runway landing.
I know.
Wow, that's going to be awesome.
This eclipse is really a pretty important thing all across the country, and there'll be TV stations with Discovery, will be carrying it all the way through Science Channel. There's going to be a flight that goes up first thing Monday morning as soon as it comes over land, and they're going to take it from the air and broadcast it. It's so fast across the country, there's no plane that can keep up with it and show it, you know. So it'll just be spots, and there's cameras throughout the totality that's going to show. It's a big deal, you know.
Well, good.
It'll fun to spend it with my grandkids, and maybe that'll give them a memory that, you know, I remember way back when we saw the sun disappear and Grandpa was there, and you know, so.
And he flew all the way up there.
And so he
paid $5,000 a night for a room.
He was really a stupid grandpa. $5,000 a night just to see us.
Well, that sounds exciting. So have a good time up there, and
thank you.
Take pictures or video, whatever you can take up there. That'd be you know, pretty cool.
I will try to get as much as I can. They're saying don't point your cell cameras or your phone cameras at the sun. It will burn them out.
Really?
That's a warning I heard. They do not point your cameras directly at the sun. What's that? The S8 is safe? Oh, my God. You hear that?
I'm not taking a chance on that. I'm not pointing this thing up at the sun.
No,
I just took the plastic thing. Yeah, there's no way I'm going to do that. I just took the plastic off the screen, you know, the protective thing they put on there. I'm not going to. But I do have the extended coverage. I could imagine, you know, explaining that to them. Why are you returning that?
Yeah.
I pointed at the sun and it blew out or something, whatever. Yep.
It fell on the ground, pointing at the sky, and the sun burned it out.
Yep. Got a lot. The battery. Oh, that would be bad. I mentioned the battery on it.
Yeah, but then I heard don't use your cell phone, you know, to take pictures of it, and don't look at it. Obviously, it will burn your eyes. It will burn the retina.
People think it's dark, and you know, the sun's covered up. No, there's stuff around it that you can see. I don't know what I forgot what it's called, but there's that, you know, the not the hay, what's it called? The sun,
the corona
coming around the other. Something like
yeah,
that.
The corona. Once it's totality, you can look at it for the 2 minutes that it's in totality. But once it starts coming out, you can't look at it because then it will burn your eyeballs up. So
there you go. Yep. I think you said you were having problems finding glasses. Did you try Lowe's? Because I heard Lowe's had it.
I didn't know about Lowe's
in your area. But yeah, if you have a Lowe's or some other hardware place, they've been carrying them. So I heard Lowe's was one of them.
I'll have to swing by there tomorrow morning. I'll do that.
Yeah, get something.
I also tried to get a hold of a telescope, and I'm looking around trying to find a telescope. And I Zach Manager went online and tried to find telescopes, and she says I found one. I said, oh, good. She clicks on it and it says shipping Monday. Well, that's what we needed. It's not, you
know, ship it to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or Dacula? How do you say that? Dacula. Okay. Yeah.
Dacula.
I'm getting that mixed up when I first saw that. I thought, what? They actually have a town name.
Yeah, I thought it
was
pronounced as in Count Dracula. Dacula.
Dacula. For the October show. Dacula.
Yes.
Okay, we will. What are we at? 8:07.
8:07. We've been chit chatting for 10 minutes here.
Our show has eclipsed now. We will see everybody next week. Then on the
next week
24th.
With an up to date report on the eclipse.
Yeah, 24th of August. We'll see everybody back then. Have a good one. Be safe and drink
or
wine.
Or I
can
see you Saturday at the festival.
Mm-hmm.
Either one.
On the 19th.
So, have yourself a good week.
Yeah.
Be safe and drink responsibly, but drink lots of wine.
Yes, absolutely. We'll see you later. Thank you. And
see
thanks
you
for listening.
Yes.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Ron, originating from Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call 813-996-2113. That's 813-996-2113. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archive shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.